Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Wichita police investigating a homicide. We've got the story.
Woman killed in accident in northwest Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holliday. The warm, moist air continues to move back into south-central Kansas. That will cause temperatures to climb today with thunderstorm chances returning overnight. Our full forecast in minutes.
More today on Wichita's latest homicide case. 35-year-old Justin Green was shot and killed early Saturday evening in North Wichita. Police Captain Brent Allred says it happened in a parking lot east of 17th and Grove.
The investigation revealed that a disturbance has occurred between multiple individuals at a family gathering at this location. Multiple shots were fired, multiple people were involved, and those three individuals were struck by gunfire. This was not a random incident.
Green, not a gang member. However, some gang members were involved with this shooting. Two other men at the gathering were shot. They've survived. 25-year-old man showed up at a hospital with a gunshot wound Saturday. Early Monday morning, police located a 22-year-old man in northwest Wichita near 21st and West Street with multiple gunshot wounds. He was hospitalized in serious condition. This is Wichita's 14th criminal homicide case of the year.
A woman died in a traffic accident in northwest Wichita.
Wichita Police Department has identified the victim in Sunday's fatality accident as 43-year-old Erica Jeremal. At approximately 12 p.m. on Sunday, officers responded to an injury accident at 34th Street North and Ridge Road involving a 2015 gray Jeep Wrangler and a 2009 gray Audi A4.
Police Officer Charlie Davidson says the victim in the Audi turned left in front of a northbound Jeep on Ridge Road. The Jeep slammed into the driver's side of the Audi, injuring the driver, her 10-year-old daughter, and another 10-year-old girl in the car. A person at the scene began life-saving techniques, but the victim was hospitalized and died from her injuries. This is the 14th victim to die in a traffic accident on Wichita streets this year.
Kansas will allow transgender people to change their birth certificates so the documents reflect their gender identities under a legal settlement that LGBTQ rights advocates announced Monday.
The agreement ends a federal lawsuit filed in October by four transgender individuals and the Kansas Statewide Transgender Education Project against officials at the State Department for Health and Environment, which issues birth certificates. U.S. District Judge Daniel Crabtree issued an order Friday to make the agreement binding. The agreement reverses a policy imposed under conservative Republican Governor Sam Brownback that gave Kansas among the toughest rules in the nation for changing a gender on a birth certificate. Lambda Legal, a national LGBTQ rights group that represented the individuals and groups suing Kansas, said only Ohio and Tennessee have similar policies in place and that they're being challenged in court, too. Amy Webb, KNSS News.
As the U.S. hits Iran with new sanctions following the shooting down of an American drone, Trump administration officials consult with allies overseas.
President Trump's point man on Iran, Special Representative Brian Hook, is touring Middle Eastern countries including Saudi Arabia and Oman before heading to Europe. Hook saying the U.S. wants other countries to help increase security at sea amid tensions between the U.S. and Iran in and around the Strait of Hormuz, a key waterway for transporting oil. Hook saying discussions will be held at this weekend's G20 summit in Japan. In London, Simon Owen, Fox News.
Top Senate Republican is meeting with 9/11 first responders after facing criticism about a victim's compensation fund.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is scheduled to meet today with 9/11 first responders advocating for a permanent solution to a depleting victim's compensation fund.
We've never left the 9/11 victims behind, and we won't again.
Last week, McConnell responded to criticism he wasn't serious about providing assistance. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer wants McConnell to leave the meeting with a commitment.
These families have waited too long. There's been too much delay. We've had to nickel and dime things.
The House is expected to pass a long-term extension of the 9/11 compensation fund in the coming weeks. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
A matchup of elite pitchers last night resulted in something we don't see very often in baseball. We'll give you details on that coming up in sports.
All right. Federal prison time for two Texas gun thieves. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Two men fled from police after a traffic stop in southeast Wichita early Sunday. A driver in a black Nissan Maxima sped away from police driving into a neighborhood a couple of blocks north of Kellogg and Oliver. Driver got out of the car, left it in reverse, and it hit a Wichita police car, causing minor damage. Officer Charlie Davidson says the driver, armed with a handgun, tried to run away, but he was soon taken into custody.
The Wichita Police Department has arrested 31-year-old John Warner of Wichita on charges of felon in possession of a firearm, obstruct arrest, possession of marijuana, hit and run, traffic charges, and arrest and detain order through Kansas Department of Corrections.
A man in the back seat of the car also ran away, and he remains on the loose.
Federal prison time for a pair of gun thieves from Texas.
36-year-old Raynard Hunt and 29-year-old Keith Lowe were sentenced to 8 and 6 years, respectively, without parole for the part they played in the theft of more than 600 guns. The pair were among six men charged in the October 2017 heist. The shipment of handguns and shotguns were stolen from UPS trailers in Springfield, Missouri. They were being shipped from the Beretta Firearms Company to Bass Pro Shops in Missouri. In addition to hard time, the two men must pay more than $200,000 in restitution. On the downside, prosecutors say that as of last month, only 73 of the 654 guns stolen have been recovered. Karen McHugh, Fox News.
Another American has died in the Dominican Republic.
The latest death here in the Dominican Republic reportedly involving a 56-year-old man who owned and operated a pizzeria in New York. Local officials say he had a respiratory issue on the 11th of June and then died about a week later. All of this happening as one resort in the DR announced it's making changes. The Hard Rock Hotel in Punta Cana, where at least two have died, says it's removing liquor dispensers from all rooms. It also is bringing on board an American health facility to make sure its on-site health clinic is up to all U.S. and international standards. We could learn more sometime next month about what's going on. That's when we're expecting the results of three toxicology reports the FBI is helping out with. In Santo Domingo, Jeff Paul, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
And we've got a traffic accident, kind of a big one here. It's a crash reported K-96 and Hoover. Now, this is at the ramp from Hoover to K-96, kind of at the bottom of the ramp. They have a semi-truck that overturned there, spilled its load into the ditch, and so they're going to close that ramp. Again, that is K-96, the ramp from Hoover to K-96, a semi-truck rollover accident. May want to avoid that area for the time being. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Good morning, Steve. How are we doing?
Well, doing fine. At the normal high for the day, about 90, and it looks like we're going to be pretty close to that.
Yeah, that's right. Right around 90 degrees. And, you know, even though it's going to be warmer than yesterday, like you said, that's where we should be really for this time of year. So I'm sure a lot of people going to be turning that AC back on, really getting to know our friend air conditioning and also the fan. Can't forget about that. I think that's going to be a close runner up. And I'm sure there's going to be some people that are poolside. And should that be the case when it comes to spending any time outside, you definitely want to make sure that you're not only staying cool, but also keeping an eye to the sky, because especially closer to the evening hours, we'll have to watch out for the chance of a storm or two, and one or two of those storms could be on the strong side with a greater severe risk for our neighbors up to the north, closer to northeastern Kansas. So between our temperatures, the chance for a few storms returning to the forecast, definitely got a lot of changes in there. Partly cloudy skies today with more of a breeze once we get into the afternoon, anywhere between 10 to 20 miles an hour. By no means is it going to be gusty out there, and only a 10% chance of a shower or storm, mainly because some of our neighbors off to the west actually dealing with a few spotty thunderstorm showers, and they are tracking eastward. Now, as we go through the morning, it's going to be tough for them to hold up, but should they decide to do that, I do have a 10% chance, mainly after the lunch hour, and then that better chance moving in by the time we get into the evening hours, getting up to 20% after we see that high of 90, low of 67. Any storms that we could maybe see, capable of some hail, wind as well, possibly up to the size of anywhere between ping pong ball to golf ball size hail, and then our wind gusts anywhere between 60 to 70 miles an hour. Now, keep in mind, this is just a possibility. Once we get into the early morning hours, drying out for the start of our Wednesday, looking at another partly cloudy sky and another 10% chance of a leftover lingering shower or storm. Another high of 90 degrees as well with a south wind at 10 to 20. So this stretch of 90s, it's only going to continue, but it looks like we are going to trend a lot drier as we go through the rest of this week. And the weekend looking dry, just hot, anywhere between 91 to maybe even up to 92, 93 degrees. 64 degrees right now, though, just another cool start. Not as cool as this time yesterday. Humidity is at 90%, dew point of 61. So the humidity this early in the morning already noticeable. Once we get into those 90s, even more so later this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Ronell. The KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. It's 7:14 now with Steve and Ted. June 25th, on this date in 1973, former White House counsel John W. Dean began testifying before the Senate Watergate Committee, implicating top administration officials, including President Richard Nixon, as well as himself, in the Watergate scandal and cover-up. That was on this date in 1973. John Dean, of course, they had him back recently on Capitol Hill, I guess as a historical witness or something like that. But John Dean.
Yeah, 45 years later, back on Capitol Hill.
Today, our Steve and Ted poll question. It's on our webpage, knssradio.com, and you are, as always, invited to take part in it. Just something fun that we do to see how our web visitors think and what they think about different issues, some of them not too heavy, like what is your favorite summer outdoor activity, which has been on the poll now for several days, and we're going to retire that today. But here are the results. Swimming pool got 2%. A walk, hike, jog got 10%. A ball game comes in at 15%, favorite summer outdoor activity. A day at the lake got 21%. Travel vacation, 25%. Picnic and barbecue comes in tops with 27%. So there's a pretty good variety there, I think. And we're going to retire that question, as I said. And the new question is, how much do you expect to spend on fireworks this 4th of July?
Yes.
Over $100, $50 or more. Less than $50 or absolutely nothing.
And we've got some early results.
You already have some results, okay?
I do.
What do you got, Jed?
Right now, we have 33% less than $50, 33% none, and 33% $50 or more. So
okay.
The only one not getting any votes so far is over $100.
Okay. I've been amazed the past few years how much my grandchildren on my daughter's side, can talk their dad into spending on fireworks. Yeah. Oh, of course, we were kids. Well, I loved fireworks when I was a kid. I think every kid just about
does. Yeah, when I was really a little kid, my two grandfathers would, I think, try to outdo each other.
Really?
So I always got a nice little personal.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. Ramp up of the fireworks.
Oh, that's good.
Well, my neighbors always seem to spend more than 100, so I spend zero.
Yeah. You can just always, watch.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody else lights the fuse, you can still get the kick, right?
I get the just watch go, the show. Yeah.
Just go someplace where there's a bunch of kids shooting fireworks, and you'll absorb it by osmosis and celebrate the
independence. Yeah. Speaking of fireworks, I saw a fireworks tent for the first time on my way in today.
So I was out.
Somebody's got a tent set up.
We were out at Goddard on the way to a ball game the other day, and I saw the big tent's been set up out there. There's a couple of them out there. And
it's just almost that time of year.
It's that time of year. Sure is. Just wanted a couple of quick follow-up question on a story that you've covered, Ted, and that is our latest homicide case where apparently a number of people involved in this shooting incident where a man was killed and two other people were injured in the northeast part of town. And there's not much mention of suspects in this story, but we were talking off the air. It looks like this is one of those very confusing situations where the police detectives are having to sort out a lot of stuff to figure out who may have been involved.
Yeah,
right?
A bunch of people.
Yeah.
And yeah, they all kind of knew each other. It was some sort of a family gathering, and at some point, people brought guns out and started shooting.
Yeah, and it,
at least three guys ended up getting shot. One person killed.
And detectives are going to have to go through this and interview a number of
witnesses. Yeah, they're still trying to locate everybody that may have been there and find out what they know.
Was it one person shooting? More than one?
No, it's more than one. There were several people shooting.
Okay, so who are these people and where are they? And that's a complicated story right there.
Yep.
So they'll be working on that for a while here. Maybe get some results in the next few days, but don't be impatient with them because that's a complicated story like that. Thank you, Ted. 7:18 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It is sports time with Ted Woodward here on this Tuesday morning, June 25th. Ted?
Yeah, yesterday we wrapped up the Wichita Open Golf Tournament out at Crestview Country Club. They couldn't complete it because it got dark on Sunday, so they had to go to playoff hole and carry it over into yesterday morning. And it was Henrik Norlander and Brian Bigley, the last two guys remaining for the playoff. They both hit the playoff hole number 18 yesterday. They both hit par, so they had to go to another hole. They went back to 17. And Mike Kennedy, the play-by-play voice of the Wichita Open, gives us a rundown on how the tournament finally came to an end.
Norlander hit first, hit a really good shot, just about 12 feet short of the hole. Bigley was a lot farther away, close to 50 feet left and short. Made a very good run at it, just ran it by the bottom edge of the cup, about a foot and a half, and Norlander's birdie just creased the edge and sat right there, so he had a little tap in. So Bigley just had about a foot and a half left to match the par and keep the playoff going, and he lipped it around the left side. So he made bogey, and Norlander wins.
There you go. Norlander the winner. His second win on the tour. First time he's won in 4 years. That was a pretty good par that he made there, Steve.
Interesting.
Meant that was a $71,000 putt.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the difference between first place and tying for second
How
place.
How about that?
Yeah, $71,000 on the line. You either make it or miss it.
Woo!
Henrik Norlander gets the big money, $112,000 for winning the Wichita Open. There you go. That the 30th annual version of the tour here in Wichita finished up yesterday morning. Women's soccer at the World Cup in France yesterday in the round of 16. United States taking on Spain. Both teams scored goals in the first 10 minutes. It was 1-1 for a long time. Then late in the game, the USA scored on another penalty kick, and that would be it. USA 2, Spain 1. United States advances to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, taking on the host nation, France. That will be on Friday afternoon. Major League Baseball last night, Kansas City Royals, Cleveland Indians, delayed by rain late into the night, actually early into the morning in Cleveland. And the Royals took it on the chin, falling 3-2 as the Indians hit a game-winning home run in the bottom of the 10th. You heard the game last night on Sports Radio KFH.
That was a long night, which included a 2-hour, 23-minute rain delay, and the Indians beat the Royals 3-2 in 10 innings. Jason Kipnis hits a walk-off home run against Willie Peralta. Willie had flipped a curveball on the first pitch, and it was outside for ball one. But I imagine Kipnis got a good look at it because Peralta then came back with a curveball that was out over the plate, and Kipnis hit it a good 5 or 6 rows into the seats in right field. So the Royals continue to struggle here in Cleveland. The Royals have now lost 23 of their last 30 here in Cleveland.
Well, they'll try again tonight. The Royals in Cleveland, taking on the Tribe at 6 o'clock. Listen live on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. Interesting situation in baseball last night. The Arizona Diamondbacks in Phoenix, taking on the top team in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Red Hot Dodgers. Former Wichita Wranglers pitcher Zach Greinke on the mound for the Diamondbacks. He was at the plate last night. And here's some of the action on the Diamondbacks Radio Network.
Here's a 1-1 pitch. And Zach swings, hits it to left. That ball will now be caught, and it is gone! Greinke has homered off Kershaw, his third of the season. The Diamondbacks have got the lead 4-3.
A career-high 3 home runs on the season for pitcher Zach Greinke.
The National League.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, Steve, that was Greinke against Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers.
Right.
This is only the 7th time in Major League history that a Cy Young pitcher has hit a home run off another Cy Young pitcher. Cy Young Award winning pitcher. So it's only happened 7 times in baseball history. Only two guys have ever done it twice. Zach Greinke now joins that list.
He's done that. Okay.
The other guy that was Cy Young versus Cy Young and hit two home runs was Don Drysdale.
I was going to say Drysdale.
Who hit two home runs off of Warren Spahn back in 1965.
Warren Spahn, the lefty.
That's the only other guy that's ever done.
What about Bob Gibson?
Multiple times.
He was a great hitter.
Nope. Never against another Cy Young Award winner. Didn't do it.
Drysdale. Big, good-looking, 6'4".
Oh, man.
He would throw at everybody.
And he liked to throw inside.
Oh, yeah.
He liked to own that plate.
Oh, yeah.
Hitters better not lean out over it.
Yikes.
Or they'd get
plunked.
Yep. All right, there you go. Pretty interesting little baseball.
You bet.
Yeah, there you go. That's Sports with Steve and Ted, KNSS.
7:23 now. Keep it here for Rush Limbaugh's Morning Update, the media and electability. With Steve and Ted on KNSS. Hey, time for the Prairie Fire Coffee Break.
It's that time.
On KNSS, Prairie Fire Coffee is the freshest coffee in the Wichita area because Prairie Fire Coffee beans are roasted fresh right here in Wichita. You can get Prairie Fire Coffee at your office by calling 267-3771 or online at prairiefirecoffee.com.
Coffee break.
Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.